And so all these kind of steps happened and opened up to me. And I think that is part of what design is about. It's about, like, what is our vision and saying it out loud, and then the universe listens.
Welcome to the Tracking Connections podcast, and thanks for listening.
We feature voices from around the world sharing stories of working intentionally with deep nature connection in ways that transform lives, families, projects, and communities. I'm Sarah.
I'm Aiden.
And I'm John.
And we are your hosts from Living Connection First.
Hey, everybody, this is Aiden.
This is Sarah, and we are here with Luby McNamara to talk about design adventures.
This is John. I'm really excited to have this conversation. Luby and I have been talking about, when are we going to do a Tracking Connections podcast? For quite a while. Hi, Luby.
Hi, everyone. I'm Luby, calling in from Applewood Permaculture Centre in Herefordshire in the UK. And I'm, delighted to be with you all today.
Well, Luby has a lot of things for you to check out later, but she's the author of People in Permaculture, Seven Ways to Think Differently, Cultural Emergence, Design Adventures, and Luby and I have been collaborating on this cultural emergence project for several years, and she does such great work and gives people a lot of hope and really helps them to get activated, and that also includes me. When I was teaching a Design Adventures course with Luby, I was really stuck in a particular project. And Sarah and I had just moved into this house, and we used the two-car garage as the place to throw everything. So we created a mess, and I felt like Superman on kryptonite every time I walked into that garage. Well, as it turns out, the design that Luby challenged me to do was the thing I wanted to do the least, which is very typical of Luby. But it activated this incredible flow, and I had named my design Activating Flow. And, kind of a, sort of a synchronistic coincidence, kind of hard to call it a coincidence. When I was working through all the stuff in the garage, I actually found a box with binders back from 1983 and 84. And I pulled out this binder, and in the binder, I found my first attempt at design. And what I had done was I probably did 25 designs on these worksheets that I got from some book. And when I look back on those designs, only one of them had manifested. And I'm like, wow, it's a really good thing that I met Luby. Because ultimately, I started out in 1983 with this really, really, really strong vision of what I wanted to do. And it was just so compelling. And, what is vision? I think, the one thing we may not realize about ourselves is that all of us are basically either visionaries that are activated, or we are potential visionaries. Like, we all have this creative potential to bring something into the world. So, what comes through me is what I'm, potentially capable of, right? Sometimes in the beginning, it doesn't feel that way. Not unlike looking at that mess in the garage and trying to imagine myself doing it, right? The thing about vision is it's always outside the box. If it isn't outside the box, it's kind of not vision, right? It's like there's status quo, which may be creating challenges and problems in the world, and have a look around, think if that might be true. And if everybody activated their vision, I truly believe we could turn things around on this planet in a pretty effective way. I know this because having been working with, vision and being able to be effective here and there throughout my life, I've seen microcosms of change that have gone on to continue to grow without my influence. So we all have vision, and it's ultimately about making the world a better place for everyone. We each have our own angle. That's our own personal vision on how we go about things. And what Design Web does, the Design Web is the model that Luby taught me that we're using in Design Adventures. It gives us accountability and agency, and it activates our vision and helps us actually bring the things in that we so long to bring in, right? It's activating, and it's, the world needs us. And that's why I think it's so important to have you here, Luby. But I'd love to ask you a little bit about your origin story. How did you become a designer? And you carry that that medicine as a designer so strongly in your being, and you help so many. How did you get started in that?
Yeah, so back in 1999, I went on a permaculture design course, and it was at the same time as I was doing my finals as a university undergraduate. And on the at the university, it was very much kind of research based, and you had to reference everything. And then I'd go along to the permaculture course, and it was creative and fun and collaborative, and we felt like everyone had solutions there to offer, and together we had even more solutions, and we could really exactly that what you were saying, think outside the box and stretch our imaginations and be creative. And it was so much fun learning together as a group, which was just an incredible paradigm shift from the mainstream education I'd been steeped in until then. And so at the end of the course, we were invited to share our long-term goals and visions, and share them in a way of just saying, well, what would you like to happen? You know, what would be really fun? Not actually sort of setting yourself like in intentions or fixed goals in there, but just what would you like to happen? And I was just like, well, this has been so much fun. Wouldn't it be fun to be a permaculture teacher? And I just kind of put that out there in a very wild, imaginative space, not really thinking that's the path I'm going to follow. But like the universe listened. And then there was like this meeting of permaculture teachers that happened to be in a place that I was going to and could go a day earlier. And then there happened to be a course for adult education in the college near me. And so all these kind of steps happened and opened up to me. And I think that is part of what design is about. It's about like, what is our vision, and saying it out loud. And then the universe listens, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, we could provide these opportunities here and there. Let's see if she takes them. Oh, she's taken that one. Let's throw another one her way. And so then doing teaching permaculture, and then doing observing people in groups doing design activities, which is what we would do on the permaculture design course, is I learned a lot from observing and guiding people through these processes, and doing my own permaculture diploma as well. So we went through 10 designs, and I designed like a women in permaculture camp, and really wove what I was doing with the teacher training and the having, and I needed a certain number of teaching hours. So weaving all that together into design, so designing where I was at and learning through that process. And then that led me to writing People and Permaculture, and looking at, you know, someone said to me, we have all the tools and techniques we need for widespread earth repair at the moment. And it's like, okay, well, why is that not happening then? And the answer is always about people. And so when we have the limits, we turn them around, we flip them around into design needs. So it's like, okay, we need to improve our people care skills. How do we do that? So that led me to writing People and Permaculture, which in turn led to the creation of the design web, because I was playing with it. I was trying to find a nice sounding acronym. And while I was playing with this, like, do your ideas become before your vision? What about your action and your design, and playing with it? And this web appeared on the paper, and it was like, it's non-linear. I'm never going to find an acronym and never going to confirm the order of this because it is non-linear. And so that was where the design web came into being. And then I observed spiders, and I played with it. I put the cards on the floor and like move around and really feel in my body what was happening in the design. So it did become this deeply embodied experience. And I used the design web to design the design web, and just using it over and over again for little things, for small things, and sharing it with others and seeing how other people have used it has helped it mature and grow, and then weaving into the cultural emergence tools as well, which we'll, I'm sure we'll come to, that's helped it grow and evolve again. So, I guess it really did be, like, come into my body. So that when you say how I was carrying that medicine in my being, it was literally carrying it in my body and not just in my mind. That's helped it become the operating system that I function with.
What is Design Web?
So the Design Web is a framework that I created that has 12 anchor points. So like a spider web would have an anchor point, but you could think of them as stages of the design, and you go through each of them in a non-linear fashion, and you use inquiries, and you can use time in nature, and you can use artwork and questions to deepen your understanding, and you can use the design web for really literally designing anything. So you can use it for designing your week ahead or your year ahead, or designing a skill to learn a skill, or to go on holiday, or to find your dream home, or clearing out your garage or spring cleaning. You can use it for all sorts of things. And so we have the 12 anchor points, which are vision, helps, limits, patterns, ideas, principles, then integration, action, momentum, reflection, appreciation, and pause. And through all of those inquiries, then a design emerges, and it gives us guidance in how to move forward and ultimately how to manifest what we're trying to do.
And you know, folks, if you're listening and you're curious, if you want a visual of this, we have one on the show notes page, so you can actually see it in one glance.
Well, I'm just really appreciating the nonlinear acknowledgement, right, of vision, John, both with your words around thinking out of the box. You know, a vision isn't necessarily a vision if it's already been done, right? And it's coming uniquely out of the individual, right? Each person has a very unique relationship to life, right? To being alive here and what we're bringing to the earth and what that potential is. And so to have that non-linear vision, right? That thing that doesn't have a framework or a structure necessarily out there for us to follow, matching that with the design web, which is also coming from that very non-linear place. I remember going through the design web several times and having this feeling like being in flow of what all the different kind of wants and inspirations and feelings and possibilities are, to the point of kind of getting all those nonlinear points out and having no real linear sense of how that made sense. And then somehow through the process, something emerged out of it. I love that you actually, you know, you're studying spider webs and just the way you're describing it as a web, because that was very resonant with my experience of, well, these are kind of my points of contact, right? And as I put those out, it was creating a web, like almost like a container for that inspiration to land within and to have a space. So I wonder if you resonate with that, creating a space for vision to live. And that first piece of allowing the dream, right? Like allowing ourselves to think this is possible, right? If I can imagine it, it's somehow possible. And allowing ourselves to not say, oh, it has to conform. Nobody else has done it. It's not, you know, it's not real. It can't happen. So is there a relationship for you in that if we create a space for it to live and we're putting the structure out, that in itself allows it to emerge?
Yeah, absolutely. That's I've heard that many times as well, which is that we, when we start, we think we're designing for this over here, and then in the process, something else that's bigger and even more outside the box comes through. And sometimes we don't know what our vision is, and we start a design and we're stuck in patterns, or we've hit limits, or we just have an idea, or it's a reflective process that starts us off. So sometimes the vision comes a lot later in the process or deepens in the process and becomes more nuanced and full and ambitious. Sometimes we just don't know about vision, and this is where it's interesting, the work with cultural emergence and our cultural awareness, that each of the anchor points we have a cultural relationship with. So with vision, we might have, as we've been growing up, been told not to be too ambitious, or, you know, no, that will never happen, or don't get too big for your boots, or whatever the expression is, and the subtle or more, maybe not so subtle messages we get that lead us to kind of our cultural parameters around vision. And we will have cultural parameters around appreciation, which is another of the 12 anchor points, and around pause, what are our, like, the ways we self-care and we nourish each other. So each of the anchor points also has a cultural relationship. And when we start deepening into that and realizing that through reflections on the process, like, oh, I always struggle with vision. Oh, and I realize now that my teachers would pull me down and not to tell me to be too expansive or ambitious. And I can now let go of that cultural conditioning and expand into my vision, then that can be really empowering as well too. And so there's multi-layers going on, and that might happen even if your vision is to have a clean garage, and, or, you know, to do something very simple, but then you reveal all of these other layers of cultural conditioning that then you realize, and then you're like, well, actually now I'm going to vision my dream home or my dream job and let go of that and be more expansive. So there can be many layers of discovery that happen, which is why it's an adventure, because we don't know at the beginning what will happen. And that was what you were saying there, Sarah, was what, you know, you start and you go through and you discover with each of the 12 anchor points, and then something new emerges that you weren't expecting through all the weaving together of all of those insights and inquiries.
Aidan, can you speak to how we use DesignWeb with our team?
Yeah, my introduction to DesignWeb was in February, March of 2024. And we used DesignWeb in our design for designing with natural cycles, the course we offered last spring. And my experience with it was that it took us to this place that I think both was more expansive than any of us had imagined coming in, but also felt more easeful than what we had been expecting. And it just felt like a total transformation in the energy. And I just felt like everything that came out of that process went towards the program having this amazing results and being easy. And it was just like, wow, what is this? This is really, really powerful and amazing. So that for me really made an impact right away. And then I think using it as a regular practice has really done a lot to put me in touch with the elements of my own life that I normally neglect to my own detriment. So, you know, pause is a tough one for me. Helps is a tough one for me. You know, I'm always kind of looking at like ideas and limits. And then, of course, really dreading going into action because I'm like made this big downer. So going through the process and really being with all of those stages and you know, cycling around and jumping from place to place and just getting to a place where, you know, I am actually looking at the elements that will make this be my ideal design, which includes my experience and like just my experience of enjoying my life, which of course my design is in my life. So yeah, that's been my experience with it. It's just really, really wonderful.
That was well said. I second everything Aidan just said. We've been using DesignWeb on the fly at times. We'll just get on a Zoom call and we'll do a quick design. You know, we'll just take a half hour and just run through a bunch of things and record it and, you know, put it up on a flip chart when we're in presence with each other. But we'll do it with jam boards, you know, online, you know, where we're just all working on the same anchor point at the same time. We just give ourselves like 2 minutes and download a bunch of stuff. It always moves stuck energy, always. And it's, to me, it's like there's a log jam somewhere and you can't see it. And all of a sudden the river starts flowing and you can't always pin down how that happened. But, you know, just like we're all visionaries, we're all born visionaries. We're all designers, you know, and the thing that separates us from action when we hold vision are all those log jams. And as Luby said, some of them are cultural and subconscious, you know, that we've been doing this since we were little boys and girls and we don't believe in ourselves. We have self-doubt or whatever it is. Those are log jams. And you don't discover them until you take the bright light of Design Web and shine it into the dark places, because that's where some of the best stuff emerges from.
So would you say, Luby, that there's an aspect to this where we're kind of even undermining the linear mind, you know, calling out the blocks that John's talking about and kind of shuffling things up and helping it let go of limitation and trying to control and all those habits that our wonderful cognitive mind does to try to keep us safe?
I love the idea of that undermining the linear mind, and maybe to put it a different way, although you could justifiably put it that way, it definitely does activate our right brain. I think it actually brings them together. So rather than it all being right brain and holistic, I think because it has the 12 anchor points, and then as you say, Aidan, you're like, oh, I haven't visited action or I haven't visited that. So there is a sense of like the left brain in there kind of keeping track somewhere along there. And you can design in it whatever way suits you. So you can just go around from vision and go in a very clock or sunwise manner and be very systematic with it if that's what suits you. And you can bring in spreadsheets into your action, or you could be very right brain and bring in artwork into your action plan. So you can find the way that suits you. So I think rather than it being like, okay, forget about the left brain, it's all about the right brain and that holistic thinking, I think it actually brings the two together. And that, I think, is where a lot of the power is, because it brings together both what's in your conscious awareness and then the patterns and the limiting beliefs and those kind of cultural parameters and the thing and conditioning that's below the surface. So it brings all of those together and then gives you a pathway forward. So we say it's manifesting through design and action. It's not just about design. The action is important, and it's like, how do you break that procrastination? So it's not just, hey, I want to do this, but these are the steps forward and the commitment and the sense of empowerment that you can make these small steps to make it happen. And then once the ball is rolling, as we know, more and more happens and we create patterns of success for ourselves and patterns of emergence and creativity that unfold.
Oh, that was so well said. And it really reflects my experience. I would like to just reflect on what Sarah offered too. You know, it's a way to kind of get below the linear mind and kind of, I see it as it breaks the bad habits of the linear mind and actually gives the linear mind a more functional role. You know, so it sort of like lifts up the gift of the linear mind, because it also lifts up that really good creative side, and they have to learn how to collaborate. So even that one anchor point is integration, you know, so we could even think about it as the integration of the two hemispheres within us, right? And to really bring out the gifts of the different tools we have as human beings, you know, because the linear mind, it can be really a powerful tool. And yeah, I love the spreadsheet approach as well. And then I make myself do artwork also, because I noticed that Luby mostly does artwork. I mostly do spreadsheets. So I'm like, okay, there must be something kind of about both of them, you know, and it really does help to do both for me. So I have this compulsion, maybe because I grew up with a really intensely visionary mentor, you know, since I was 10 years old. Well, I'm going to design everything. Right. And so when I started working with Luby, I had this whole plan, you know, my design will change the world. And she says to me, without even knowing I'm thinking that, she says, and no, you're not going to design the whole world. And she said to me, you know, before, if you use DesignWeb, you know, you wouldn't go out and build the house using it. You would first, you know, if you're going to learn carpentry, you don't start learning carpentry by saying, oh, here's a piece of land, I'm going to build a three-story house, right? You know, that would be not a, such a great idea. So if you're learning carpentry, it's best to start with a birdhouse, you know, because it'll teach you how to use the tools and build confidence. And then you can build a slightly bigger birdhouse or maybe a chest of drawers next or something. And that's kind of how, you know, Luby slow walked me into DesignWeb. She made me do discrete little things first so I could learn and internalize and embody the operating system of DesignWeb. And then I could take on bigger and bigger things over time, which is exactly how it progressed for me. Do you have reflections on that, Luby?
Yeah, so this is one of the ways in which we start to sort of have that sense of completion with the design. So we call these like quick designs, microgreen designs, where we get the nutrients really quickly and we see a boundary. So it's like design your week ahead. You do the design, you have the week, you can reflect on it, and you don't get stuck in this design trap of like, when we're designing for something growing, how do we know it's complete? If we're designing for our health and well-being, well, when is it complete? We can always continue weaving. And so when you can put a boundary on there, it's really useful to then know, okay, I've completed something. That's what completed design looks like. So you get that sense of it in your body, on the paper, in real life, and then you can ripple that out into the other things which are more nebulous with their sense of like completion there. And I've been doing a design adventure for designing your year ahead. And I've been thinking of that as like, well, that's like the big pattern. You go from the year and then down to a month and then down to a week. So you could also go from like the big picture and into more detail, as well as going from design your week to your month to your year. So you can, it is very fractal. And I think when you do these quick designs as well, this is where it really helps to become embodied, because we have, it's like we can see it then happening, and like and we lean into it. And I think one of the things that people often like say to me is like, oh god, I haven't actually got enough time to do a design. And we think, and they, well, I can kind of almost see in their head their thought of like, oh my god, it's just going to be another spinning plate that I have to manage. I can't do it. I just can't add another thing in. But I like to think of it, instead of another spinning plate, thinking of it as a tray that can hold many plates. And so it actually becomes a support for your life rather than another burden. And that's another reframe that I think is really useful, to like be like, oh yeah, okay, this is going to be supporting all my other roles and responsibilities and projects and help me, rather than add another burden.
If I have this vision that feels really big and intimidating to even start to design around, would I choose something small that's in relationship to that vision? Or, and small, like, okay, small I can understand in my mind, but how do I relate it to my vision? So it feels like it's connected symbolically or taking a step in that direction. Do you have advice on that?
Yeah, so simple thing of like, okay, I want to get fit. And it's like, well, okay, that's big. And how do you know? And that's ongoing. Like, how about designing for my exercise routine for the next week? So you start to contain it. Or self-care. Okay, it's a really big topic. How about designing a morning self-care routine? So you start taking a slice off what you're designing for, and then knowing that that could grow and become bigger. So it is connected with the bigger vision, but it has some sense of boundaries, or it's like the first chapter of the story, rather than you're going to write the whole book. It's like, okay, I'm actually going to do that piece of it or just start it. And then by putting the boundary, you can review and you can have that sense of success rather than, okay, I'm going to get fit. Well, you know, that's like the New Year's resolution of I'm going to go to the gym every day. And it's like, oh no, I've fallen off on that resolution immediately. I failed. Whereas if you said, okay, I'm going to design my exercise for the week, and then at the end of the week, you can review it and go, okay, well, that worked well. And let's do the next week now. Maybe let's do the next month. So then you can add a bit more or make it smaller. If actually you found that too hard, you can scale it down. And so you can keep refining while knowing that you're on the pathway to that bigger vision.
So if I choose a big vision, and then I start to find the places where I'm blocked, then I realize, oh, I need to do this first. And then maybe I take that small piece out and do a design on that piece.
Yes, absolutely. And what I always say that there's designs within designs, there's stories within stories. And so it's nested designs, and designs will always lead on to other designs. So we can always go into more detail or go into a bigger picture as well. We can zoom in or zoom out. And that's part of the skill and the practice of being a designer, is knowing when it's useful to zoom in or zoom out. And if you're working with a team, that can be really valuable to know, like, well, is it that we actually need to go into the detail of our marketing plan? Is that really useful now? Or do we need to go out to the bigger vision of what we're trying to do as our impact in the world? And which way do we need to go? And people will have different ideas. And you might find that that's part of the stickiness in the team, is that one person is trying to go into the detail and one person's going into the bigger picture. And if you clarify which direction you want to go in, that can be helpful to move momentum forward for the whole team.
Luby, how do you think about designing sort of our habits and our ongoing, or you could call it sort of our systems that are in place, versus designing for, you know, a discrete thing that we want to improve or accomplish? How are those interrelated, and sort of, I suppose, the maintenance of our lives and the internalization of our habits and things like that?
Yeah, so we need both of those, really. It can be sort of a bit more exciting, I think, to think of this new project that we're going to do. But actually, the maintenance of our personal culture or group culture is really important, and not so exciting and sexy to think about how we do that, but it's really vital as well. So I think both are needed, and the discrete projects help us to have that boundary and to feel the momentum of the designs that we're bringing into the world. And then the ongoing designs are really important to build the momentum slowly and really integrate it and embed it into our lives.
You know, DesignWeb is the perfect follow-up for the process that we call renewal of creative path, which we have another episode on that. End of the year reflecting, where have I been? Where do I want to go? Sometimes what we get out of renewal of creative path is somewhat like a vision, but it doesn't really have specific steps. And so it's such a beautiful thing to just slot DesignWeb in and say, oh, this one thing felt really important for me this year. I think I'll work on that. Something that Sarah and I did, we wanted to find the perfect place to live together in the Santa Cruz Mountains. And we came out with, you know, our renewal process, we came out with this beautiful image of an amazing place. And then Luby challenged us to do DesignWeb on finding that place. And then we were being kind of practical. And then Luby looked at our design and she said, you guys need some wild and crazy ideas. So Sarah named one and then I named one. And the crazy thing is, they were really out there for what's available in these mountains. And we found it just manifested. Like, we actually found the place that had the two wild and crazy ideas from Sarah and I, which has just made this place like magical for us, you know? So we went from renewal of creative path right into that. Well, then after we moved in and we had set the living space up beautifully in a way that really worked for us, and our children were all set up and we had this, you know, really nice situation in our landscape. And there was this mess in the garage. And when I moved into this place and I saw the garage, I'm like, oh, this is a perfect place for me to have a workshop, you know, where I can do little carpentry projects and fix things. And, you know, it'll be really organized and I'll be able to see all my tools and it'll be so great. And that was my vision for the two-car garage. But the two-car garage had a mountain bigger than the car that we have of stuff piled in it. And my workbench, you couldn't even see it. There was like a smaller mountain peak on my workbench. And it was actually depressing for me. And I kept mentioning it in my meetings with Luby. And she finally said, I think your design needs to be cleaning your garage, but you can't call it cleaning garage. It needs to have a magical name that will really inspire you. And so I came up with activating flow because I was also feeling the stuck energy of the inertia of COVID, because we'd all been in lockdown and we were all kind of like, we'd lost momentum in our lives. My projects had lost momentum. There was a lot. Well, you know, you probably remember how hard that was. And I have to say that, well, as Luby said, designs within designs. And then I also incorporated the H. Shields model. So I started from intention and vision, and I went to inspiration, then what motivates me, and then what focuses me, and what embodies me, and what do I celebrate? And I planned a party at the end. So when I had the garage all done and the activating flow design was beauty and completion, then I could invite friends and have a potluck and we could have a dance party to bless the garage, which all these things we did. You know, and then I reflected on the design afterwards in that twilight pattern. And then in the midnight, I pulled out the principles of what works. But the thing about activating flow, which really surprised me, was you heard Luby mention rippling out to other areas of your life. Well, I activated so much flow and all of a sudden all these other areas of my life started moving. It was quite remarkable. And to this day, it's like activating flow, the design from what, 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. It's like I put in an irrigation system in a garden. It continues. It's like it keeps giving. Like this design was complete and I celebrated it. But every time I go in that space now, I see another little river flowing and I'm like, oh, I'll follow that and clean that area. Oh, I'll follow that and I'll organize this. And oh, I'll build a box to cover the generator and it'll look really nice and it'll clean the front patio. And I quite literally embodied activating flow. And it's like I built an irrigation system in for flow in my life. And it's unconscious. It's not in my head. It's just moving through me. And I get so much joy using my workbench. It's like it grows in us and then it stays with us and it starts to influence the way we approach everything. And it's been such an incredible toolbox for the visionary side of me. It's just been so much fun to work with and to bring Aiden and Sarah into that process and the other members of our teams and the councils I work with. We just use DesignWeb all over the place and it has literally helped us step up our game in every way. And we're having a lot more fun.
I'm hearing this theme that the poet David White talks about, which is that the deep, emergent, real parts of ourselves, it always shows up as an invitation. Like the language is an invitation to move towards something. And, you know, in contrast to, you know, the idea of resolutions, we're like forcing ourselves into this shape that we think we're supposed to be in, you know, and then it's like we wonder why we feel all that resistance and why it's so difficult to make that shift versus this idea, you know, what I'm hearing in your reflection on activating flow, how it spilled into all these other areas of your life. And it's like, because you actually moved into and just embodied this different aspect of yourself or this new aspect or returning aspect of yourself. And it just naturally flowed into all those other areas. And it just resonates very deeply with me. And just that idea, you know, of looking for those invitations in our lives to move into a fuller and more natural part of ourselves. And I can see how that would naturally sustain. And again, not without maintenance, right? Of course, we always, the hose can get kinked, so to speak, and we need to go out and discover why. But yeah, just really feeling that energy in this and feeling very inspired by that, you know, and that feeling of invitation and moving toward.
I'm feeling inspired to do a DesignWeb. Luby, is there a way that we can start on this journey?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go to my website, cultural-emergence.com, you'll see a whole page on there which has the design web and has the visual there. And you can just get started yourself. It's got questions there that you can follow, and you can choose something simple like your week ahead and play with it. Yeah, just invite everyone to play with it. And what I really enjoy about seeing other people design is that there's no one right way or wrong way. And when people say, oh, is it a good design? I always say to them, well, was it helpful? And if it was helpful to you, it was a good design. So we all have different ways of designing. We're all designers already. We all design how to get places and what meals to have and where to go on holiday and all sorts of things that we already design in a kind of black box way. We're not really sure about how we do it. And when we use the design web, it taps into that part of us that is already a designer that then helps our inner designers to grow. So have a play with it is my suggestion, to choose something small and contained that you can enjoy and reap the benefits of.
And then for those of us looking for a deeper dive, is there an opportunity for that as well?
Absolutely, yeah. So as John said, my books, All People and Permaculture, Cultural Emergence, and the new one, Design Adventures, all contain the design web and all give you much more detail in there as well. And I also do courses, Design Adventures. So depending on when you're listening to this, there'll be a design adventure happening near you or online that you can join at any time. So please do, because it's also great, then you get to hear reflections from other people and different layers appear that you can engage with. So yeah, there's many design adventures to be had, and so enjoy and get involved.
Yeah, this has been great. You know, I always come back to this. My favorite way to play with design web is I hate when the kitchen is a mess and the dishes are all stacked. And sometimes I look at that and I'm like, oh, so I immediately go into what's my vision? What do I want to see here? And then I do a really quick design in my head and I literally design web in like a couple of minutes in my head, how I'm going to tackle this. And then I put in a podcast or I listen to music and I just go. And it's so fun. And at the end, I always celebrate like I'm having a dance party in the garage after activating flow. So you can do it in really, really small ways. And it's so fun to play with. And if you want to find out more about what Luby and I have been up to, you'll find us on the Cultural Emergence website that Luby gave you. And that's also in the show notes below. A mutual friend of ours said that, you know, Luby has something you need, John, and Luby, John has something you need, and you guys need to meet. And that's Ruth Corey. And it was really, really fun to step onto Applewood Permaculture Farm and for Luby and I to basically both give up what we were used to doing and just design into the blank space between us to see what emerged. And it's been emerging, and it's been so fruitful. And I think we'll do an episode on that someday, the story of cultural emergence and where it came from, and also the ripples that it's having out in the world. And there's just some really cool things going on now because of that. But it's been really wonderful to have you here, Luby, today. And thank you, Aidan and Sarah. And thank you, Luby. And let's remember that ultimately we're all visionaries. And if we can activate even just a small piece of that, we can make the world a better place.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And thank you, John, for being on the Cultural Emergence adventure and for the tools that you bring for the nature connection and cultural repair. And those have enhanced the design web as well and added new dimensions in there and new resources. So thank you for that. And thank you for having me on the podcast. It's been great fun to go deeper into the design adventures.
Thank you, Luby.
Thank you, Luby.
Thanks for listening to Tracking Connections. If you enjoy this podcast, it would mean a lot to us if you would take a minute to follow or subscribe. Following the podcast helps us, and it helps you, because you'll never miss an episode. We'd also love for you to give us a 5-star rating and review and share an episode with a friend. To learn more about our current offerings, visit livingconnectionfirst.net. We'll see you next time.